Good afternoon, Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist. Very warm to hot temperatures are in the forecast across the Central Plains in the heart of the Midwest today and tomorrow before turning cooler. World Weather Incorporated says cooler temperatures will begin Thursday, spreading from the northern plains into the Midwest and move to the south and east on Friday. Temperatures are expected to be notably cooler than average across the plains and western Corn Belt for much of next week. The northern plains and upper Midwest are expected to trend drier than usual during the peak of the cooler weather next week.
Water levels continue to rise along the Red River of the North, especially since much of the snow from last week's storm melted quickly, although there still are some areas with snow on the ground. According to the National Weather Service in Grand Forks, moderate to major flooding is already taking place along the river from Abercrombie to the Canadian border. There is rain in the forecast, but World Weather Incorporated is expecting precipitation to be light. That could help limit the extent and severity of the flooding.
There is a wide range of trade guesses for corn ending stocks in tomorrow's USDA supply-demand report. CHS hedging market analyst Steve Wagner thinks the two-sided action is traders evening up positions.
I honestly don't know that the stocks will be dramatically larger. They'll be bigger because of, you know, the 97 million acres from last month's prospective plantings report. But the stocks from last month's report were actually lower, and that's a good sign. That means they're using up that corn crop. So I'm not looking for, you know, big bearish news.
While there is downside risk, Wagner does not expect to see a major move lower in the corn.
The acreage should be in there, and most people were running it against a trend line yield, so I'm cautiously optimistic that we can't take 20, 30 cents out of corn. Let's put it that way.
Lakefront Futures market analyst Darren Fesler says traders are very uncertain over acreage and demand ahead of Thursday's supply and demand report.
The next couple weeks are going to be pretty darn cold versus seasonal averages. There's still a lot of concerns about the crop conditions in North Dakota, South Dakota, areas of Minnesota. That's still left in a big question mark. How many acres are really going to get in the ground up there? So I think that you're going into this year, yes, you have a really bearish fundamental situation developing, but you still got a lot of production risks still out on the table that needs to play themselves out.
Fesler says ending stock estimates by traders are all over the board.
It's really difficult to peg this number. Not that I think it moves the needle all that much, but it's going to be interesting how the USDA really judges, going forward, what do they think about ethanol and how are they going to, you know, relay the numbers to the market.
As expected, the weekly report from the Energy Information Administration shows a large decline in ethanol production for the week ending April 3rd. Ethanol production dropped 20% from the previous week to a record low 672,000 barrels per day. Ethanol stocks increased 1.4 million barrels to a record high of 27.1 million barrels.
The 24-hour steer price jumped $8 higher yesterday to $123. Additionally, the cull cow market continues to trend upward, averaging around $65 in March and $67 last week. Last week's price may have been the annual high for cull cows or on the upper end of the range. This quick rally was driven by a surge in demand to replenish grocery store shelves.
According to an updated economic analysis by the American Farm Bureau Federation, crop and livestock prices are falling to levels that threaten the livelihoods of farmers and ranchers. Since the beginning of the year, both beef and pork futures declined more than 30%. Farm Bureau economist Michael Nepfew says the cattle markets are on a roller coaster.
Really hate uncertainty, and that's what's driving a lot of this volatility that you're seeing in the market beyond just the fundamentals. Part of what's driving that uncertainty is we really don't know where we are in the outbreak. If we're at the peak, how long social distancing measures are going to continue. We don't know the impact of basically shutting down the country, the entire country, for 2 months or 3 months or however long this is going to be. We don't know how that's all going to turn out, and we don't know what the eventual impact. We're very likely going to go into a recession, and what the impact of having, you know, an additional 10 million unemployed Americans and how that really trickles down the supply chain.
Milk future prices have also fallen sharply, with the price of milk used to make cheese down 28%. The price of milk used to make non-fat dry milk is falling by 34%.
We started getting warnings about letters of co-op saying we might have to start dumping milk 2 weeks ago, and all last week you saw across social media videos of farmers having to dispose of the milk. That's just a real challenging part to be in, because it's, again, you lost so much demand essentially overnight. The barrel cheese has just dropped dramatically because that's not the kind of cheese consumers tend to eat at home necessarily. That's more like a food service demand kind of thing. What happens when you have all those artisan cheeses not going to the nicer restaurants that people may go out and eat at?
As grain and livestock markets trend lower, Commodity Risk Management Group President Mike North advises farmers to look for marketing opportunities.
In the midst of a storm like this, producers need to be cognizant of what the opportunities are. You know, and I think you need to challenge the paradigm that you're using to define what an opportunity is. In a world where, you know, ethanol is taking it on the chin, the price of corn is going to look very different if that continues for any length of time than it did even a month ago when ethanol was running along at full speed.
Managing risk should be your top priority.
You have to really be looking at what those opportunities are, be ready to capitalize on them. Rallies need to be rewarded, and risk needs to be protected. You know, defend yourself against the what-ifs of tomorrow. Have a game plan in place, and don't let this volatility spook you. Just recognize that there's risk out there that needs to be addressed, and go after it. Don't get caught in shock here.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday Farm News here on the Red River Farm Network. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association is urging the Trump administration to expand USDA's cattle market investigation to closer examine market volatility. NCBA CEO Colin Woodall says the market is on the minds of all cattle producers.
Not only where the market has been since last summer, but in particular what we saw here over the past 6 weeks with COVID, to take a look at, in particular, the disparity that we have seen between boxed beef prices that the packers are charging the retailers and what we were getting on the cattle side. There is an open investigation that has been going on since the Tyson fire last summer. So instead of going and asking for some sort of new investigation, which would just take longer to actually implement, we have asked the president to extend this investigation to take in everything that we are seeing now.
Specific requests within the letter include investigating price discrepancies, as well as determining if current risk management tools are useful for cattle producers. Woodall adds the requests go far beyond the boxed beef price disparities.
It is all components of the beef marketing system right now, and what we saw was a significant decrease in the cattle futures when this hit. And what we discovered and confirmed is what we have been suspecting for quite some time, and that is there is a complete lack of market fundamentals having an influence on the futures markets right now. And because of that, we don't believe that futures market is as good of a risk management tool as it once was, and that's why we have asked the Commodity Futures Trading Commission to do a study and investigation.
The U.S. dairy industry is asking the USDA to help dairy farmers in this coronavirus pandemic by purchasing excess dairy products. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue says it is possible for the USDA to purchase those products and donate to food banks, but there are challenges.
Last year, I think we had we purchased $50 million worth of fluid milk, and it took us all year long to distribute that out. The challenge is scale and scope, and the amount of oversupply in the dairy industry with the disruption in the food locations and schools and others. So that's one alternative to get milk off the farms and into homes, but the challenge is the quantity and the size.
USDA Deputy Undersecretary of Food, Nutrition, and Consumer Services Brandon Lips says the most significant challenge in getting that to food banks is the capacity for cold storage.
Some of them have capacity for cold storage. Some of them have none. And certainly as they get regular donations of cold refrigerated foods, and may or may not want to replace that with milk. Those are the type of things we have to work through to make sure that we have the capacity to hand out the product when it gets there. I think USDA could certainly figure out how to get the product there, but we want to make sure that our partners are in a position to hand that out.
Coronavirus started to spread rapidly in the U.S. during the heart of the cattle sale season. Despite cattle futures having declined drastically in recent weeks, Western Ag Reporter field editor Will Bollum says the business of buying and selling bulls and females is continuing as usual. Seed stock prices have remained comparable to last year and, in some cases, even are trending higher.
We've just got to keep going forward and get through this last maybe month and a half here where people will still be having their production sales. And what's really saving us is the option to bid online or over the phone. There's some sales that aren't allowing anyone on the premise, so a lot of guys, they're getting their picks beforehand and then they're just bidding online. Everyone is following the recommendations. Nobody's shaking hands. Some people might be wearing masks or something like that, but for the most part, it's just sitting further apart, doing your business, and heading home.
The 10th Circuit Court of Appeals rejected a request by refiners for a rehearing of a court ruling on small refinery exemptions. In response, American Coalition for Ethanol CEO Brian Jennings is pleased and expects the EPA to comply with the law, denying pending small refinery exemptions for 2019. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Soy Transportation Coalition Executive Director Mike Steenhook remains optimistic that infrastructure projects can be undertaken once we get past the coronavirus pandemic.
I think one of the best ways that we can proclaim to the world is that the United States is open for business, and the best place to do business is if we make these long-term investment commitments to our infrastructure. And so we hope that 2020 will be a year, in midst of all of this chaos and uncertainty, that it will be a year where we still do something tangible related to infrastructure.
Steenhook says agricultural groups need to keep Congress and the administration's feet to the fire to accomplish an upgrade to the nation's infrastructure.
It's a time for farmers, agriculture, and a host of other industries to remain engaged, to continue to discuss this, and remind our elected officials that this is something that needs to be done, and it's one of the best messages that you can express as far as believing in the future of the U.S. economy is making investments in its infrastructure. We hope they do that.
CHS reports second quarter net income of $125.4 million. That compares to nearly $249 million a year ago. The co-op reports revenues of $6.6 billion for the quarter, up slightly from the second quarter of 2019. CHS cites poor weather conditions this past year and global trade tensions for negative margins within the ag sector.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, May Minneapolis wheat up 3 at 527.5. May Chicago wheat down 2.5 at 546.75. May corn down 2 at 329.5. December corn down 2 at 349. May beans down 0.25 at 854.5. November beans up 1 at 867.75. June live cattle up $1.60 at 86.40. August up $1.60. April feeder cattle up $4.57 at 119.50. May up $5. April lean hogs down $1.30 at 42.82. A friendly reminder, NDSU Extension is hosting Grazing Cover Crop webinar series. The next one will be tomorrow, the 9th. It will cover cover crop grazing research and economic and the soil impacts of cover crops. This is the Red River Farm Network.